Well, greetings this afternoon, and it is good to be around God's Word. Was it Elisha or Elijah? I was going to say Elisha, so you wouldn't know what I said. You say, that's right. It's one of those. It's either Elisha or Elijah. I like the scripture where he was by himself, and here comes the wind. Just a terrible wind, and God was not in the wind. Didn't hear God in the wind. And then comes a fire, and God wasn't in the fire. And then comes an earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. And then remember what it says, that God was in that still, there was a still, quiet, small voice. And you know, I think that's sometimes how God speaks to us. And we were blessed this morning with lots of good instruction, you know, and I really feel like God spoke to us this morning, and that's what my prayer was. And that's a beautiful song, 309, wasn't that? That's just really a special song. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe in him and all will be well. Then go in the world that is dying. Go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell, but to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yeah, I'm thinking just about our time together, and that you know. So I guess first of all, I personally, and would be the same wish for each one of us here, would be that we'd hear that still small voice. I mean, sometimes you know, God's word is a fire, and God's word is a hammer. It's described as a hammer. God's word is as milk, you know, as to a child, a baby, you know. But also, it's a still small voice. The Holy Spirit will speak to us that way. But turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So just to turn our eyes upon Jesus this afternoon, kind of in the quietness, and you know, we do have a good, you know, I do appreciate our order of service. You know, it's a good order, you know, to come and have the kids in here, and I wouldn't think it matters if it's a morning or afternoon, but it's good order, you know, to come together to read and pray and worship and sing, and then go sit at lunch together. It's a good thing to do that, and that's what we had, a nice lunch together, and now another time in his word. So really appreciate your prayers, and you know, just as we turn our eyes upon Jesus. And so let's read out of the book of Ezekiel. Let's read out of chapter 15. It's a short chapter, Ezekiel chapter 15. Start at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or then a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof and do any work? Or will man take a pin to it and hang any vessel on it? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel, and the fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, is the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel? So will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them, and they shall go out from one fire to another fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate because they have committed trespass, saith the Lord. Just a parable of the vine, and you know, and we've seen the sort of the how Israel has been. God has turned his face against the inhabitants of Jerusalem and against Israel, and we see that leading up to Ezra and his return, and just with Ezekiel prophesying this, and it's obviously very true. So anyway, let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn 228, Jesus, I Will Never Leave, hymn 228. Let's kneel and pray. Father, we're thankful for just this opportunity and the quietness of the afternoon and the sanctuary to come to thee in prayer. And Father, we're thankful for this opportunity, and we're thankful for thy still small voice, Lord, that we can hear, Lord, that we can learn lessons, that we can look back in history, that even as we see Ezekiel writing here, Lord, in the parable of the vine, and Father, we see the truth of that, and Father, we are thankful for that, that thy word is truth, and Father, it does give us courage, and does give us insight and wisdom as we learn from thee, and from thy word, and from Scripture, the things that thou hast recorded, and Father, we're thankful even for Jesus and his teachings, even as in Luke 15 this morning with the Father and the two sons, and Father, the truths that thou didst share even this morning. So we're thankful for that, and for this time together. We ask thy blessing upon it. Bless those in Sunday school, and we know that many have traveled to be with family and fathers this weekend. So, Lord, we just ask for thy perspective on even fathers and on life and just on eternal things. And as we sing about, Lord Jesus, we want to turn our eyes upon Jesus to look full in thy wonderful face. Lord, as we do that, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of thy glory and grace. And so we're thankful for thy glory. We're thankful for thy grace. And Lord, we're thankful for thy Spirit that is among us, that lives in our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we ask thee to be our teacher, even as Scripture says, and to remind us of the things that Scripture says and that Jesus has taught, and direct our conversation, and may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable. Lord, our minds can even wander in church and think about other things. Lord, bring them back and bring them to you. And Lord, we just ask for thy blessing and thy direction. And we think of the Fair family, Lord, and just with Sister Norma and her passing, we're thankful for her life. In the times we visited here, we could see Christ shining through her, Lord, and we thank thee for her life, and just bless the family and the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And Lord, I pray that even the events of this past week will help them, that their family and those involved in even the funeral and the arrangements, to turn their eyes upon thee, Lord Jesus. That would be our prayer. And be with those brothers from Leo. And God, such an unusual, quick tragedy. And yet, Lord, we know that thou art sovereign. So bless them and the doctors, and provide healing, we would pray. So we thank thee for being our good Father, even as we heard about that. We just are in awe of thee, our Father, and thy character and thy righteousness. And even as thou didst say, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, Lord, we desire that. Forgive us where we come short, and forgive us where we do not follow thy word. And, Lord, just through thy strength, help us to be committed to doing what is right. So we love thee. Guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, let's read out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's read out of chapter 3, the book of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. And let's start at verse 1. It says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of the gospel, our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for ourselves know that we are appointed unto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherein we joy for your sakes before God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Period. Well, that's a great, great chapter. You see Paul's heart in this chapter, and it's really pretty incredible how that he just really loved those people and loved the people at Thessalonica. And he shared it too. Verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And if you just look back in chapter 2, it says, but we were gentle among you, even as a mother cherisheth her children. Nurse means mother. So being affectionately desirous of you. I mean, it's just a great, great charge of Scripture. So it's just, you know, he was like a mother to them, and he was gentle among them the implication of verse 7 is even as a nursing mother, you know, as a mother nurses her child and loves her child and cares for her child. You know, that's how Paul says, that's the way we were. But then jump down to verse 11 in chapter 2. And he says, as ye know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye'd walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So isn't that a great, perspective of Paul's heart and what Paul really desired to accomplish in life? I mean, it just really is, and it's humbling. And we sometimes live in dream worlds, don't we? We kind of dream a little bit. We dream thinking, what would be a good example? What would you dream to be like? I can't come up with any good examples because, you know, I'm not sure I want to be like LeBron James. I mean, I'm not sure I do. You want to be LeBron James or you want to be yourself? I think I'll pick myself. Is that okay? But let's pretend like I want to be like LeBron James, because I see kids like that wear his uniform, you know, and the number 13. You know, and I think I saw 13. I think I saw James. But let's say you think, oh man, I wish I could be like that. Or, you know, I wish I could be like this person over here. Or, you know, occasionally we do that, whether it be an athlete or maybe Billy Graham. Would that be a better example? Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe, let's go to a church father. Think of a church father in our church. That I'm not saying one's better than another. I'm just saying they're examples. Sometimes we look to these people. You know, think of our church fathers, okay? Or your church fathers, growing up, where you grew up. There are some people that you really looked up to. And you think, man, if I could just respond like that person responds. If I could just teach like that person. And I'm talking to a minister. Let's go to Gridley. Let's pick two of the top. Dad Witzig. Let's say Dad Witzig and let's say Edwin Ringer. I mean, two godly men. And sometimes I wish I could be kind of like them. Or let's go to Francisville. Who do you think of Francisville? I know, yeah, brother. I mean, you could, they're people, aren't there? If you go to Francisville, you think, I mean, you just respect them. Or, if, you know, even going to Leo. You know, Brother Wendell, I mean, comes to mind, you know, just in his influence. Or if you go to Leo, and this is before you Leo people's time, but you know, my Uncle Dave, you know, this is off the record.
I never really appreciated him that much when I was young.
But he's a great man, a godly man. I look back on his life and I see that's amazing what he did. And it really is. If you go to Fairbury, I mean, there's godly people there, you know, that kind of are, you know, our fathers. And you think, I wish I could, you know, why can't I be a little more like that person? I mean, sometimes we think that. So here's Paul, and I think that's the way I feel about Paul. I go, Paul, you're saying exactly what my heart says, but I just see, it feels like I can't do that. Just doesn't feel like I'm quite there. But, you know, what are some truths here? And it's so, to me, it's so revealing, you know, to be gentle, as it says in verse 7, among you, even as a mother, as a nursing mother with her children. And look at verse 8. And so, being so affectionately desirous of you, I just didn't want to impart the truth of Scripture. But I loved you. You know, I wonder, my whole soul. You know, I think, you know, why can't I do that? I don't know. How do you feel? You know, that's what Paul did. So this, you know, I think Paul, you know, and Paul actually says that. He says, be like me because I follow Jesus. I mean, he says that. Paul says, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. So we want to do that. So it's kind of a heart check to think of myself. And I think, let's just think of this church right here. Or we could think of Friday night, all those kids out there, couldn't we? Okay, think of Friday night. How would Paul look at that assembly? Or how about this, you know, the assembly this morning? Or how about with all the chairs filled in the back and the whole assembly filled up? How would Paul feel about that? What would Paul's heart be? Well, he tells us what his heart would be. in verse 5, and now let's go to chapter 3. Well, let's start at verse 1. It says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left alone at Athens. We sent Timothy, our brother and minister, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. I mean, Paul had such a heart. He, you know, he sent a godly man to establish those people. What do you think Timothy did to establish those people? I bet he did different things. Bible study, prayer meetings, small groups, and to comfort you concerning your faith. So we got Paul, and Paul had such a heart for these guys. Let's go to verse 5, this group. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Isn't that awesome? Just wanted to know, how are they doing? What was his heart? His heart that they would be, verse 10, perfect. Nothing lacking in their faith. And that's an incredible heart. And I'm so thankful for that heart that Paul had. I mean, there are just lots of lessons as we read the scripture. Lessons just start dropping off the vine. I mean, there are just so many good lessons. And to think of Paul's heart for those people, and then I think, well, is that my heart for the church? It's like, yes, that's what I want it to be. But sometimes I fall short. You know, sometimes I'm just not quite there. You know what I'm saying? The problem is I'm going to die too soon and I'll never reach the goal. I don't know. I mean, you know, we just want to keep following Jesus, don't we? But I'm saying I love Paul's heart. I love his goal. I love his desire for the saints. And, wow, this is just a great section. Let's go to verse 19 of chapter 2. Because it all ties in. Obviously, it's one letter. It's one piece of work divided at chapter 3. Verse 19 of chapter 2. For what is our hope? What is our joy? What is our reward? Couldn't you say that? Crown of rejoicing? Here, it's got an R here. Let me see what the R says. R, verse 19, chapter 13. That doesn't help me. Okay. I guess that just means reference, doesn't it? I thought it might give me more insight. Okay, what is our crown? What's our reward in heaven someday? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Yeah, I mean, it's the church. It's the people. It is the reward. And so that's why Paul wanted to, you know, he wanted to labor as a mother. He wanted to labor as a father, teaching and training these people. And such a great, great heart. And I guess, I'm going to ask God, give me a heart like that. And I do. I mean, that's what I want. And I've been praying for myself, because we used to always pray for our children. The harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, it'll send forth laborers into the harvest. We used to pray that. And guess what? We're starting over. We're starting to pray that for ourselves now. You know, as in this season of life. Lord, send us forth, send Edie and I forth as laborers in your harvest. Help us to have a heart like Paul, affectionately desirous of people. You know, and Edie and I have talked, because like on Outreach Wednesday night, I say, Edie, do you think we really care about these people we're talking to? Or do you think we just want to share the gospel with them? Sometimes I worry about that, you know, because once we share the gospel, then I'm moving on. Let's share, you know, we got, okay, here's one opportunity. Let's try to share with them, and then we're going to move on. That's a project. Paul didn't have people's project, did he? He was affectionately desirous of them. He loved those people. And I think that's a great challenge. What else should we say? You know, we were with Lon and Sarah a little bit yesterday, and so I was asking Lon about the church, the home church that they started. They had in China. Where are we at in China? Yes, you know where I'm talking about. I'm not even going to say it. Okay, you know, how is that home church, you know, back in India? How is it? You know, are they, you know, how's Ravi doing? You know, I really like Ravi. I mean, he truly repented. How's Ravi doing? You know, and there's just kind of a little bit of a longing there to see, you know, are they doing well? You know, are they still walking with Jesus? Or are they getting into, you know, how is he doing? You know, how's Mohit doing? And I wanted to get back to maybe, Edie, maybe you and I should just go then. We've not been rejected. We could go. That's a good idea. No, I mean, I really do. I have that sort of that question in my mind. You know, how are they doing? And maybe that's similar to what Lon feels. I know he feels that way, and Lon and Sarah. Maybe I should just say one more statement. Since their visa was revoked, I mean, they can't go back. I mean, Lon can't. Sarah, I think, could. And Edie and I could. So, but that's the way Paul felt about it. He felt about that group of people. He said, man, are they growing in the Lord? Are they walking with Jesus still? Do they, well, what do you say? Do they love the Lord? Do they turn their eyes still to Jesus? Are they, you know, they washing out? You know, are they shipwrecked? And Paul just loved them and wanted to know. And this is a great A great chapter. Now, I'm real tempted to go back to Ezekiel. Okay, Lord, give us wisdom. And I'm tempted just to stop and say, this is enough. We've had enough. This is enough. I'm telling you, this is enough. Because it shows Paul's heart. It shows Timothy's heart toward other people. And, you know, wow. You know, I guess even, you know, you know, we talk about, I'll say this. This is one thing I appreciate about Ken, because I feel like Ken really cares, you know, and we're different people. Ken and I are different people. And I think Joe really cares too. And I think I know I care too, but I'm just saying different people have different personalities. So sometimes we just get busy, don't we? What are hindrances? What are hindrances for being like Paul? Well, we get real preoccupied with other things. You know, it's not that we don't care about people. It's not that we don't care about one another. We do care about one another. But sometimes, you know, we do get distracted about different things. So I guess what I would say is a couple things. One is, thank you for giving me grace. It's not that I don't care. I do care. But sometimes I just get distracted and busy and preoccupied with other things. And so I guess let's don't judge each other on that. You know, don't judge. Don't say, oh, they don't care. They don't care about me. Yeah, well, they probably do. They may just be distracted, or they may be too busy. They may be thinking about other things. Because we do want to care about each other and be affectionately desirous of one another. And the goal, and let's pray for one another. I guess that's a good takeaway. Verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, I say that. Because I know that we all need that. We're not perfect. We've not arrived. You know, for Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, looking forward to those things before, we press toward the mark. You know, we forget those things, we press toward the mark. So I guess, thank you for being patient with me, and let's be patient with each other on that. But let's push each other toward that goal, you know, of perfecting one another. You know, perfecting one another and praying for one another. And sometimes it just takes time, doesn't it? You know, I was glad I could talk to Rebecca just a little bit, you know, and pray for a job for her. Aha, there we go. Now, we don't want just a job for Rebecca. And yet that's the stage of life she's in. You know, we want her to be grow up in Christ, don't we? To be mature in Christ. And God may mature through a job, or he may mature her through other things, but we just need to pray for her. So that's a prayer request. So we need to pray that and keep praying that. For Orlin, you know, just Orlin, it was wonderful to see, I mean, you know, the big family there, and, you know, just, and to pray for that. I mean, God can use that. A godly mother and grandmother can affect those. You know, hearts are tender, and, you know, to use that. Because I guess there may be one or two people in Arlen's family that are probably the things of the world are more important than the things of Jesus. I mean, that's just as true in families, I'm just saying. You know, so maybe that'll turn their eyes upon Jesus. And, you know, so God can use those things. I'm going to save, I do this too much, but I'm going to save Ezekiel. Boy, that's a good, I can't do it. It's not, time's up. And we like to get, be out before the kids come, don't we? So anyway, thanks for listening. That was a couple good scriptures. And it's challenging. So Paul says, you know, follow me. You follow me. You guys, you churches, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think if we can be more like, if we can all turn into little Pauls today, you know, and go out and love people, not just to share the God, just not just to share the good news, but just to so that they can be purposeful and peaceful and fulfilled in life. That's what we want. If we can go be little Pauls, all of us out but I guess just to do his work. Whatever that is, do his work.
So I appreciated the message about Ron's heart, Paul's heart, but we saw Ron's heart. How do you say this? So Ron just apologized for if he ever thought that we thought he was not caring. I've never thought, Ron, that you've never been, I've never had that thought. I never thought Ron has not been caring. Like, I just never thought that. And So I found myself a little emotional to hear him apologize if he ever miscommunicated that. When I think of Paul's heart, right, which we just preached about, I think of Ron's heart, and I see how much he loves God by loving God's word. Is what I think. I think the afternoon message ties very well with Father's Day, especially to fathers who aren't fathers. Right? Look at Paul's heart. Paul's heart. Paul's heart. It's all we heard all afternoon. Paul's heart. Paul's heart. Paul had no kids. No biological kids. And yet his heart as a father. In verse 10, he wanted to see your face. He wanted to see your face. And then to hear Ron preach on verse 12, right? Give all the examples of people who we want to be like, who we want to be increased like. Verse 12, increase. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. Let's sing together.